The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome to the Walking Dead online viewing party. It's Sunday, the 3rd of March, 2019. I'm host Casey Shapiro, coming to you on blogtalkradio.com via our sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up to the last episode of Walking Dead, and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials on the show. Typically, we start out a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. I am going to pause real quick and give a warm welcome to one of our regulars who is helping me most weeks. Joan, thank you for coming. And it looks like everything is up and running properly over there. I know sometimes we have a little adjustment being able to hear each other, but things are going well. So, welcome. Our show is spoiler and comic free. So please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. Feel free to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314. You're welcome to call anytime during the show, but we encourage you especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you call during the live show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can talk on the air. If the phones are not really your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact, and we post the links for that to our Facebook and Twitter. So feel free to share them and feel free to use them later for downloads. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening, you can go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes through iTunes. So, welcome to Season 9, Episode 12 of The Walking Dead. Tonight's episode is entitled Guardians. We have 4 episodes left after tonight for Season 9. The official AMC synopsis is: while one community struggles to ease tensions that threaten to divide them from within, the true nature of another group comes into focus. A mission to rescue a friend has deadly consequences. That's almost every week, guys. So let's see if Joan has any commentary. Oh, and Joan says, for the love of all things good in this world, come join me in the chat room. Yes, please come. We have lots and lots of fun while the show is on and we watch it together. So definitely come and do that. All right, so I have pulled up an additional synopsis for you guys, what I frequently do each week. I try to have a couple of the extended synopses that get posted around the internet to sort of discuss what is going to be going on tonight. So the first one is from undeadwalking.com, and this one is by Sarah Beth Pollock, one of the regular writers for them regarding this show. And Sarah Beth says, Alpha and the Whisperers may have left the hilltop, but that doesn't mean they're gone for good. And in this week's episode of The Walking Dead, we see that threat is very much alive. They're out there somewhere, and Henry has taken it upon himself to find and rescue Lydia. Daryl and Connie go in search of him, but what will happen is they learn more about their biggest threat yet. Episode description, which I've given you and we're skipping. Though fans still have a lot of questions about life in the communities post-time jump, it's clear that all is not well, though life at the hilltop seems to be moving forward without Jesus. The kingdom is arranging the fair to help bring in much-needed trade, and Alexandria might be a well-oiled machine, but there are clear issues that need to be resolved. Michonne's work to keep the community safe has caused tension with the other communities as well as within her own. With Jesus gone, can they rise above their past and move forward? It's a tough sell for Michonne, who has lost a lot already. Obviously, the immediate issue is Henry off on his own in the woods looking for Lydia. He's more than capable of most He's more capable than most of the post-apocalyptic kids, but he's no match for the Whisperers or Alpha's right hand, Beta. And that is not really much of a spoiler after the trailers. We are going to see Beta come tonight. No idea how much this storyline is like the comics. Didn't look, don't care. So that is the end of the first synopsis. Let me pull the second one up for you. And then after that is ready, I'm going to take a quick peek and see if Joan has anything that she'd like to add to the discussion before we keep going. So let's see. Okay, so nothing yet. Feel free to anytime, Joan, if you want to jump in. You know that. So the second one, and I only have two this week, is from express.co.uk. That is not a source we have been using a lot, but recently they have been posting more articles related to The Walking Dead, so we've been incorporating them sometimes. So this one was written on February 25th. It's by Neela Dubnath, and it's Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 12 promo, What Will Happen in Guardians? And there's a little short video clip, but I can't play that for you guys, so I will just read the text below. There we go. No, the first beginning is the same stupid synopsis. Let's go past that. Guardians also has a short trailer starting with Henry apparently trying to rescue Lydia from the Whisperers. Henry sees Lydia sitting in the middle of the forest surrounded by the Whisperers and makes an attempt to supposedly save her. In voiceover, the devious Lydia is heard saying, "I acted like I needed help. I lied to get you to trust me." Despite his best efforts, Henry is caught by Beta, played by Ryan Hurst, and there's been a lot of articles and business about him coming on the show, so now we're going to finally see that tonight, who knocks him over and takes away his weapon. Lydia walks among the Whisperers and makes her way towards a confused Henry before punching him to the ground in a shocking move. Again, not spoilers, these are part of the official trailer for tonight. Beta is heard confiding to Alpha, "We need to protect ourselves. We need to be ready." His words come as a war between the survivors and the Whisperers seems imminent. Daryl is seen watching the Whisperers, only to meet Connie, who passes on a chilling message about Henry, which reads, quote, "He caught up with them." The teaser cuts to an angry Michonne, who says, "Putting ourselves out there is dangerous." Henry looks terrified as we cut back to the Alpha's camp, where he's being held hostage. "Who are we supposed to turn to when we need help?" Father Gabriel asks. As the trailer comes to a head, there's a meeting in the woods between Alpha and Lydia and Beta and Henry, who is being dragged towards the two women. A knife is tossed to the ground, and it looks like Lydia is the one who has to kill Henry in order to prove herself. The trailer ended as Lydia appeared to return to her Whisperer ways and donning the flesh of the dead to evade the walkers. These scenes come after Daryl was put in a tough position this week when Alpha threatened to kill a baby in order to get Lydia back. Daryl and Henry had a tough moral conversation about allowing Lydia to return to an environment where she would be abused by her mother and treated badly. In the end, Lydia was handed back to Alpha, but Henry couldn't handle the decision and went after the girls, which is where we find him in episode 12. And double check, there's little comments from Joan. About time we met Beta. I'm already intrigued with the psychology behind Alpha, so I can't wait to add Beta to the mix. Yes, I know it's going to be very interesting. I also find it very interesting that Alpha and Beta have these sorts of positional names, but Lydia does not appear to, nor do many of the other Whisperers. When they're addressing each other, you don't hear additional similar names. So I'm kind of curious about that whole structure and what its significance is. This is the end of the synopsis that I have for you guys. It's 8:39, so we have a good chunk of time to try to get some information to you. So, Joan does not have further comments, so let's go on to the next part, and that is the writers and directors profiles. So tonight's episode, Guardians, was directed by Michael Satrazemis, a familiar name, and written by LaToya Morgan, not a familiar name. So here are some profile bio information things on each of them. So Michael Edison Satrazemis, whose nickname is Satro amongst the crew, is known for his work on The Walking Dead, The Crow, movie 94, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues 2013. He has done camera work for many shows and movies, including My Cousin Vinny, Leverage, The Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf, directed an episode of Stranger Things, and many more projects. Satchel has been in some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of Walking Dead, starting with Guts, Season 1, Episode 2 in 2010. He has been second unit director of photography for 3 episodes, up to Season 3, Episode 14, Prey in 2013. He then became director of photography from 2013 to 2017, ending with Monsters, Season 8, Episode 3. He has directed 14 prior episodes of Walking Dead, starting with The Grove, Season 4, Episode 14, Lizzie Look at the Flowers. That was his doing. And up to Season 9, Episode 8, Mid-Season Finale, Evolution. That was his last episode before tonight. He has also directed 5 episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, all in Season 4, ending with the Season 4 finale, I Lose Myself. Directing tonight's episode will be his 15th director's credit and 20th credit overall within the franchise. Joan has a couple more comments I'm going to add before we get to the next profile. She says, I'm still boggled with the idea that a mother would feed her baby to walkers with just a shrug from Alpha. Makes me wonder if that was staged, although I don't know what mother would give her up her baby that way either. I do think it's going to require us having a bit more context as to whether they really have become that detached from humanity. I know that Alpha has said they're animals, but typical animals fight for their young. So there's something going on there. Now, on the other hand, if they are living in a nomadic way, a baby is always going to be a liability. I'm actually frankly surprised that they did not dispense with it earlier. But then there's a certain impracticality to that. So this is all full of some very odd social behaviors and seemingly some contradictions and stuff. So I don't know what's going on. Joan also says, I already read that sentence, what mother would give up her baby. You know, I don't know whether it's she's afraid to defy Alpha or whether they have detached themselves from this instinctual behavior. And that's a strong one to fight off, because that is one of the last primal things that any animal will do, is protect their young. I think these are all valid questions, and maybe we'll find out some more tonight, because that whole structure was super weird. Okay. Next profile, the writer tonight is LaToya Morgan. And LaToya is a film and television writer-producer. She was born and raised in Los Angeles and is a graduate of the American Film Institute Conservatory. She is a member of Phi Beta Kappa, which is a liberal arts honor society. She has been an executive producer before. She's notorious for Shameless, Turn, and Into the Badlands. June 2018, Into the Badlands co-executive producer LaToya Morgan is staying in the AMC fold. This is an article headline I found on her, signing a new multi-year overall deal with the network. Under the pact, Morgan will develop new series. In addition, she will oversee an inclusion initiative for AMC, in which she will supervise and mentor diverse emerging writers for development. NAACP Image Award nominee 2016 and 2017, respectively, for the show Turn. Morgan wrote on AMC's Turn Washington Spies, serving as a staff writer on Shameless, and also penned episodes of Complications. On the feature side, she was hired to adapt the two-minute rule for original film and story mining and supply. Morgan has original crime thriller Carried by Six, which I assume is an allusion to a casket, being produced by Barry Josephson, with Matt Ruskin directing. LaToya Morgan is developing a TV series at AMC based on Hugh Howey's Wool, Variety has learned exclusively. Originally released as a standalone short story, Wool tells a post-apocalyptic story that follows a sheriff, his wife, and their larger society forced underground due to toxic air on the surface of the planet. Jesus Christ, this sounds like the opening of Walking Dead. How funny. But it does actually kind of sound intriguing, so I would like to find out more about this Wool project. She's also developing a series for AMC based on Wesley Lowery's nonfiction book, They Can't Kill Us All, Ferguson, Baltimore, and a New Era in America's Racial Justice. Writing tonight's episode of The Walking Dead is Morgan's first time working anywhere on the Walking Dead franchise. So I would like to give both of them a round of applause, and we're very happy to have them working on the show tonight. Joan has additionally commented that she saw an interview with Samantha Morton, who plays Alpha, where she insists Alpha doesn't force anyone to stay with the Whisperers, and that may be true, which makes it even more interesting, because then you got to figure out how that works. Wondering if she was saying that to mislead somehow. Not the first time these guys have done that crap to us. Glenn in the dumpster, I'm looking at you. So that may be true, but you have to kind of look at... I have a nickname for this technique based on a person I know who does this, and it won't make sense to those of you who don't know them. It's a way of asking the question in a certain way. You leave stuff out. It's all strategy. So you've answered the question or asked something truthfully, but you're leaving a huge piece of context out. And it does kind of sound like Samantha might be doing that to us. So you know how they are with the spoilers. They're never really going to give you any good meat and potatoes, but they make you think you're going to get them. So we will see about that. But anyway, there is the writers and directors profiles. It is 8:46. You have a little more time, so let's keep going. So trivia time. It's the 127th episode of the series overall. It is the first appearance of Beta, who's second commander of the Whisperers. First appearance of Zion, who is another Whisperer, may have killed the two horses from last week. First appearance of Sean, another Whisperer, may have helped kill the two horses last week. And first appearance of Helen, a survivor, no known or mentioned affiliation. So it's possible that her plot line is a spoiler, so they won't tell. There are no mention of uncredited cast members for tonight's episode that we know of in advance. Last episode trivia from last week, episode 11, uncredited cast members. Autumn Azul as Nabila's daughter. Micah King as Nabila's son. Unidentified... as Nabila's baby, unidentified as the Whisperer baby in the field. Maybe we'll come up with those later. I'll have to check. Michael Lehman as Kingdom resident. Brandon Stoker as Kingdom resident. Warren Franks as Hilltop resident. Kenny M. Lee as a Hilltop resident. Oh, and also a whole big list of people. Also Alan Kidd, Darren Baylor, Maria Z. Wilson, Natasha Reeves, and Brandon Pagel as Hilltop residents that were uncredited. Quande Stewart as Hilltop Distiller, Jamel Vaughn as a Hilltop Distiller, Kathy Hope as a Kingdom resident, and Corky Turvey as a Kingdom Wrangler. There were no deaths mentioned last week. Trivia. The title of the episode, Bounty, is a reference to Carol and Ezekiel's mission to retrieve a movie bulb and Alpha's attempt to retrieve Lydia. This episode reveals that Jerry and Nabila have three children together. The unsigned charter Michonne had been working on during the first half of the season is shown for the first time. It was written to be signed by Alexandria, the Hilltop, the Kingdom, Oceanside, and even Sanctuary. That is a very interesting setup there, and I know that they've pointed at that for a reason, so I'm expecting this to become relevant as we creep up on the series finale, season finale, excuse me. The Whisperer's signature whispering is seen during the confrontation at the Hilltop when the herd arrives. Alpha and another Whisperer use it to communicate about the herd, noting that all of the loud talking drew it in the first place. Alpha later tells Alden that to live amongst the dead, they must remain quiet. Enid tells Henry about the death of her parents, her old, quote, just survive somehow motto, and mentions Carl and his impact on her life. Henry mentions that at some point, things went bad at Alexandria, and Daryl did something to help resolve it that he doesn't want to talk about. And I will bet you money that has to do with the X's on his and Michonne's back. And we are going to find out about that in episode 14. We'll talk about that in a bit. So the time period that the flashback happened is unclear. However, the communities have clearly gone their own ways for the most part of a lengthy period of time. And it is before Maggie leaves. Also, while Carol's hair is not as long as it is currently, her hair is still significantly longer than she had it before Rick disappeared. Alpha tells Daryl that the Whisperers are animals, compares their behavior to that of animals in the wild. Neither Alpha nor a baby's mother appear to care that the baby could potentially die when the baby won't quiet down. Instead, both are more than willing to abandon the baby to the walkers. And Joan and I just talked about that. This doesn't parse, but we will maybe hopefully find out some more later. The kingdom appears to be unaware of Jesus' death. Super weird. While talking with Ezekiel, Carol suggests asking Jesus to take them in if things get too bad at the kingdom. It's hinted in this episode that Earl may suffer from arthritis. Dan Fogler was made fun of by fellow castmates for the Whisperer mask given to him for the episode as it did not fit his face properly. And that's the actor. This is the first episode this season where there isn't a single human death, whether that be alive, zombified, before reanimation, confirmed fate, or off-screen. This is also the first episode since The Key where there are no human deaths. There were no goofs, errors, bloopers listed for last week either. All right, it is 8:51. Joan does not have further commentary, so let's go to the next part. Cast birthdays, woo! Okay, we have three between tonight and next weekend. Audrey Marie Anderson, who played Lily, who's Tara's older sister, I think season four, if I'm not mistaken, maybe three. Her birthday will be March 7th, and she's from Fort Worth, Texas. Al Vicente, who was the Mexican man, Season 3, Episode 10, Survivors, birthday will be March 8th, and he is from Chicago. Cooper Andrews, who plays Jerry at the Kingdom, his birthday will be March 10th, next Sunday. He is from Smithtown, Long Island, New York. Okay, let's give the birthday kids a big round of applause. Thank you for your work on the show. And Joan has just added in the chat, first episode without a death. Yeah, don't get used to that. Oh, no kidding. Good Lord. They were creeping up on the wrap for this season, so of course there's got to be something going on. All right, next section, featured music. So some of this we had a spoiler on, and I told you last week was coming, but I'm going to go ahead and read those things again anyway. So the song featured in this episode, meaning last week, is It's All Right Now by Eddie Harris. It's the one that Jerry lip syncs to the song when it plays. There is a song in the middle, but I'm unclear. I don't remember where this occurred exactly. It was identified by someone else online. The song is called What Would You Do by MC Chino. And the song featured at the end of the episode is All My Dreaming by Emma Russack, R-U-S-S-A-C-K. So that is the music. We still have the unaccounted for characters, which I mentioned last week. There's nothing new on that, but I'm keeping that section intact because this has to pop up at some point. I think some of the new MIAs are very thin stretch. I think they're just sort of writing an article to get some traffic going. But I think the original 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 missing, well, 6... 7 missing characters, and then Oceanside as a group collectively. I think these are going to be plot relevant at some point because of the nature of how they have disappeared from the plot line in various respective ways. So we will find out. 8:54, let's keep going. Talking Dead tonight, joining Chris Hardwick on The Talking Dead will be Seth Gilliam, Christian Serratos, and celebrity fan comedian Ron Funches of Giggle Fit on Comedy Central. So those will be on the couch tonight for The Talking Dead. Good to know. Just a recap for the rest of the back half of Season 9. Episode 13, next week, Choke Point. Writers are David Leslie Johnson and Eddie Gazalian. Director Liesl Tommy. That'll be on March 10th. Episode 14, Scars. That's going to be the one where we find out what things are on Michonne and Daryl's bat. Writer still has not been revealed. Director is Millicent Shelton. March 17th, that'll also be St. Pat's. So I guess, you know, we can all wear green or orange if you're Protestant. That's fine. So episode 15, The Calm Before. Writer has not been announced. Director has not been announced. They're keeping this one close to the the fold here. I'm going to have to see if I can find any data on that updated. That'll be March 24th. And season 9 finale, episode 16, The Storm. Writer will be showrunner Angela Kang. Director will be Greg Nicotero. Air date is March 31st, end of the month. We do not have a start date for Fear season 5. Currently assume it is mid-April at some point, as been tradition in the past. Last year, season 4 ran April and May, and then August and September of last year. Best guess for now is somewhere maybe April 7th through May 26th, and then resume episodes 9 through 16 in August, maybe the 18th. And these are all conjecture right now. I have no confirmation of any of these. It's based on previous season's behavior. Okay. It's 8:56, so we just have time for a little tiny bit more stuff, and I'm down to links on discussions. And I think I'm going to pull this one up to talk about in between the commercial, because we're almost ready to go. It's, let's see. So from comicbook.com, it was written on the 21st, it was by Cameron Bolomono. When the Walking Dead will reveal X-Scar answers. And since it does involve an episode that's going to be coming up in a couple weeks, I think it's time to go ahead and pull this one out and we can poke at it. We do have a couple of seconds left, so I can start on this and then we'll pick it back up during the commercial breaks. But The Walking Dead looks to unravel the mystery behind Michonne and Daryl's matching X-Scars in episode 914, appropriately titled Scars. Previously leaked episode descriptions for the remaining half of season 9 reveal a synopsis. Yeah, this is available online, so not a spoiler. An outsider's arrival forces Alexandria to rehash devastating old wounds. Eye-opening secrets from the past are revealed. Michonne's scar was first revealed in November's Who Are You Now episode, set after a 6-year time jump that followed the disappearance of Rick Grimes, and Daryl was later shown carrying the same marking. Showrunner Angela Kang previously confirmed flashbacks from the time skip would unfold in the back half of the season, beginning with Sunday's 9/11 bounty, which that was last week, which explores some of the off-screen drama that splintered Alexandria and Hilltop. Quote, we'll definitely be telling the story of what happened there, and what's kind of exciting about a 6-year jump is that there's the opportunity to go back and tell some of these stories. So we'll see some of what has happened, Kang told Entertainment Weekly. But it's a deep emotional story for Michonne and for Daryl, too. So I'm excited for people to experience that. It's something that certainly has had an effect on Michonne in a deep and particular way. So it's something we want to tell people and we'll tell people what that's about at some point. And I'm making a quick piece of commentary here. We all know that Danai has made noises about possibly phasing out in season 10 fairly early. And if that is still the path, you can kind of see where this is setting up for that. Kind of in the same way that there was set up for other people going other places and so forth. It is 8:58, so I am actually going to go ahead and go dark because we're just about ready to go. I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:03 and we are at the first commercial break. Joan is starting with a 6. I'm going with a 5.75, I think. There wasn't too much commentary in between the rest of that. So it's an interesting and short beginning. What gets a little interesting is sort of the dynamic between Alpha and Lydia, because Lydia is still in a place where she wants Alpha to validate her as daughter, not just part of the pack. Whereas Alpha is kind of taking offense. This is a stupid question. Yeah. Jonah says, Alpha, is it really worth all the hype that preceded the Whisperer arrival? My opinion, anyway. I don't know all the hype that was made about Alpha in specific. I know a lot was made about the Whisperers, but they didn't reveal too much. She's definitely interesting to a point. I'm kind of waiting to see in which way she's not like previous villains. You know, I'm sort of waiting for the thing that separates her, that makes her different. But so far, it's kind of interesting just watching the whole structure of how they live and how they do stuff. So it's 9:04. I'm going to try to go back to the article and see how much more I can read you guys. So this was the article I was just reading, When the Walking Dead Will Reveal X-Scar's Answers. So the last part of it, director Michael Cudlitz, oh, that'll get interesting. That's why they hadn't told us who the hell the director was. So Michael Cudlitz, apparently they have already revealed that in promotional stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and hold on. It says the director was Millicent Shelton. I don't know what's up with that. I will research that on my own time and see if I can clean that up for next week. Tease this discovery of the scars belonging to a, quote, really fucked up story. Reedus most recently addressed the mystery on Talking Dead following 909 adaptation, which hinted at Michonne and Daryl shared trauma. Quote, the rest of the group don't really know what that is yet, but something horrific happened right there, and you'll learn later with the new people coming into the group. There's certain lines you don't cross, but we cross them, Reedus said. And just between she and I, that's our little secret, but it's a really dark, dark secret. So that'll be in 2 weeks when we find out what's going on with that one. So that has been read. Trying to keep an eye on stuff. I think we're going to go back in a hot second after this little trailer. Yes, we are. So I will see you guys at the second commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:16, and we are finally at commercial break number 2. So let's go ahead and get some scores up. And Joan and I are in more of an accord during this break. We're both at 6.75. Joan's additional comments. Not sure Alpha is capable of giving Lydia what she wants from a mother, or if she ever was. Yeah, I'm kind of wondering about that, considering I'm having this sort of total recall moment about Lydia's original story, what happened in the shelter. Like, how much of that did she pull out of her ass? And what actually happened, if none of that's true? And Joan's like, oh, where would we be without teenage hormones? Yeah. And I suppose that's fair, because the teenagers in this sort of a scenario are going to be raised by people that were once in the other society. So not too much is going to be that different. And Henry has just made a big fat mess of everything. Okay, so since we have a little break here, trying to go through some of the old discussion links that I've been holding for you guys. The second one is from Forbes.com, and this is from February 10th. It's, thank goodness Michonne is finally leaving The Walking Dead. Now, this is not, you know, this is a teaser headline, and we'll get to the details in just a second. This is by Eric Kane, who is a writer for their games section. And he says, I know what you're thinking. Why is this white dude at Forbes writing a headline like this one? He must be all sorts of awful things, and we should definitely yell at him on Twitter. But if you've gotten this far, please allow me to explain, meeting him. Michonne has been one of my favorite characters on The Walking Dead ever since she finally started talking somewhere around the end of season 3. She was one of my favorite characters even through all the very bad, ridiculously awful seasons 7 and 8. And these are all his opinions. A voice of calm and reason, steadfast, yet every bit as badass as ever. I even really liked her for the first few episodes of season 9, which, by the way, has made almost every character more tolerable, including, miraculously, Negan. Parenthetically, I still can't stand Eugene. The hell with you, Eric, because I think Eugene's awesome. But I'm not sure we're supposed to like him that much. I think you guys just do not understand a spectrum personality or somebody who is hyper intelligent or eccentric. And too bad. You know, if y'all can make Big Bang Theory so popular, you can understand Eugene, and I don't see what the whining is about. Even Gregory has been way better this season, buried under the dirt. Well, that would not be hard for him to be better being in that place. But after Rick's, quote, death, Michonne's character has been hard to like. Probably my biggest criticism of this season is how they've written her into this angry corner where she does little more than stew and act mad at the world, despite this being many years after Rick's death disappearance. Another thing I object to that he said, if you establish a life the way that they have, it's not going to necessarily be structured like it would have been before the Walkers came. What they have constitutes a very long relationship and very invested. They have a child together, all of this stuff. So 6 years is not that damn long to have lost a major partner that is effectively a spouse. I digress. All of which has gotten me, being Eric, thinking maybe Michonne's time has come. Or more to the point, maybe Danai Gurira's time has come. Maybe it's time for the actor to move on to bigger and better things. She kind of already did. Hello, have you seen Black Panther? News that she's leaving with only a handful of episodes slated for season 10 is actually really good news. It's good news for Gurira. We should all applaud her decision to take her career to the next level. I should note that this is not in stone. It's still under negotiation. Some of these are valid points about like her just being a giant broody punchline, essentially. And they need to do something more with that than just have her be pissed off all of the time. Any grieving widow has more than one mode, and they should do better. It's 9:20, and Gabriel and Eugene are talking, so we're back. I'll shut up, and I'll see you at break number three. Okay, guys, it's 9:31. We're at break number three. Joan is at 675. What did we do last time? Oh, yeah, we did 6.5 last time. I don't know if I'm ready to come up from that yet. It's not like I got nothing out of the last thing, but I think it was kind of keeping it at the same level I felt like it was before. So, pardon me, I'm chewing on gummy bears. I don't mean to do that to you guys. Joan made a funny comment. The ever-expanding breadbasket, oh, Eugene. And, oh, good, we get some Negan this episode. Always brightens up the show. I don't know. Season 7, people were pretty pissed to see him, but I guess it's all about, you know, what do you do after something like that? Jonah's also said, and calling Negan on his BS is why Michonne still gets to lead. Yeah, I suppose. And his calling hers right back is why I love Negan. Okay. And Jonah is at 675. I'm staying at 6.5. Let me take a look. You know, the article on Michonne is completed. I already read that to you. So I do have another one that I can pull up just in case we do have time. And this one is from fanfest.com. This was written back in November, and I've been hanging on to it for a bit. It's by Shannon Tuohy at fanfest.com, and it's Andrew Lincoln on when to expect the Walking Dead movie. And I assume this was written, I don't remember the timing of all the episodes, but I assume it was written near the episode in which we lost him, at least from the TV show. So, Shannon says, The Walking Dead is planning for a trilogy of films with Andrew Lincoln starring as Rick Grimes, and we have an idea of when we'll see it. His final episode of The Walking Dead made clear that his exit from the series would be open-ended, leaving room for much more story for the beloved leader. The character is not killed off, but instead gets scooped up by Jadis as he's injured in an explosion he sets off. His exit episode was cushioned with an almost immediate announcement from AMC of plans for a film trilogy with the character. Lincoln spoke about his exit and his plans with the New York Times recently, and he actually revealed when they will start on the films. Quote, Everybody thinks I'm a sociopath because I'm not breaking down in every interview. But the truth is that I know that there's something happening next year, you know, and that's fair. This is one of the reasons that they're so restrictive about people going on talk shows or convention presentations or anything, because sometimes you have a tell like that and you kind of have to explain it. Okay, so although the film doesn't yet have a completed script, this means that production will start next year, resulting in a 2020 release of the first film. And by next year, they mean now. Lincoln promises a whole new story for Rick Grimes, who is currently enjoying the peace of being whisked away to safety. Quote, they're not just longer episodes, he says. As per movies content, Lincoln only speaks on general themes of the films. He reveals what they are drawing from for the films as well. We talk about Unforgiven, the Clint Eastwood movie, which I admire greatly. We're having a trailer here, so we may be going back in a second, so I'm kind of pausing to see if we go back after Spider-Man. No, here's Talking Dead. Seth Gilliam, Christian Serratos, and Ron Funches, which I told you earlier would be on The Talking Dead. By the way, if you've seen the password for tonight, let me know. Ooh. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of Killing Eve things. Killing Eve, BBC, Sunday, April 7th. I don't know what this is, but it looks bizarre. Anyway, we're back. See you guys at break number 4. And we're at, I believe, break number 4. And Jonah's staying at 675. I'm going up to 675. I'm actually mildly disappointed in that we are getting some more of the dynamic of the whisperers, but we're not answering the most obvious question. It's just like Sanctuary. I understand what Daryl told Beth many seasons ago. Now, basically, at this point in the breakdown of civilization, all you have left is assholes and the people that assholes protect. And even though you have a giant group of assholes, like, why do they all put up with this? Why do we have this established thing, like people like the governor or people like Negan or whatever else we got, people like Terminus? Why does it take an asshole to provide something good? Because you have Alexandria, you have people like Rick and them, you have the Hilltop and Kingdom and even Oceanside. We're capable of making communities with leadership that is not so monstrous. So I do not understand why people rally behind governors and Negan and Alpha running around treating people as she does. There are so many more of them. And she's not physically greater. You know, Beta is physically greater than her, but the rest of them are her equal. And so I'm not satisfied not knowing why the hell people put up with this. And they're not even getting close to answering that right now. So we will see. 9:44, and we have a couple minutes, so I may go back and finish some more of the article I was just reading you guys about. I know Rick's future. So he says, we talked about Unforgiven, the Clint Eastwood movie, which I admire greatly. There's something about Eastwood, who he is as a gunslinger, as an iconic kind of American hero, rolling around in pig swill at the beginning of the movie. You know what he's capable of, and I thought the idea of a character that the audience knows and has lived with and who has oscillated between psycho and father for 9 years to start in a completely different place was a really interesting, crazy place to begin. I want to know why we keep seeing helicopters flying around. What's going on? What have the grown-ups been doing while we've been scrambling around in the dirt? And then he ends with, although we will never see Lincoln again back on the series, the prospect of his story seen in a whole new light is very exciting. And I actually beg to differ. They've left the storyline open, so it is possible. And I know that he wanted to get away from the series because he wasn't spending enough time with his family. But then, you know, after he does 3 movies and he's had some time with them, maybe, all these stories are going to be in roughly a parallel timeline. So I don't know that it's impossible either. We are going back. So I'll see you guys at the end or at break number 5, depending on how it times out. I'm sneaking back in for a hot minute because what I thought was going back to the show is not, and we are still in commercials. So I wanted to share a couple comments that Joan made with you guys to think about. She has said, I can see to an extent why people rallied to Negan. He can be very persuasive and even charismatic, but Alpha, her strength is a psychological effect more than physical, I'm thinking. Seems like everything she does is calculated for specific effect. And now we are back. So I'll see you guys at break number 5. And we're at break number 5. I'm actually going to go up to a 7 on this. We'll see where Joan stands in just a hot second. Oh, she's agreeing with me. Let's see if I can grab some more comments. So I read you a couple of Joan's comments right after we did the scoring. And then we were both kind of ouch at Judith because she's turning around and Michonne's saying people don't change. And Judith's like, well, you did. And I'm pretty sure we know what the hell that refers to. So meow. But, you know, where's the lie? So Joan says, out of the mouth of babes, Judith. And I'm like, Jesus, ow, Judy. And then Negan, I don't think, was persuasive as much as he was a brutal manipulator. And Joan says, manipulate, persuade. The lines seem a little blurred with Negan. Yes, well, you know, just persuasion kind of implies that people have a choice and you've talked them into it rather than, you know, stuff like killing somebody they love to get you to agree. That's not persuading really per se anymore. That's something else. But we are still trying to figure out why people put up with this stuff. Alpha in the previous scene just up and killed the baby mother, and Seth, and I guess, you know, there's some of the characters that they mentioned tonight that were, you know, new characters that they didn't mention exactly what their role was. So at any rate, we're both at sevens. It's 9:55, so this is probably the last break before the end of the evening. And let me see. I don't really have any other articles for you guys that are not just like interviews and stuff like that. So I'm not going to worry about all that too much. Don't forget episode 13 next weekend. Choke Point is going to be on March 10th. And I think that's about all we need to get caught up with. We know Fear Season 5 will be in mid-April at some point. That's all I really know. We're having a bit of a trailer, so I'm assuming we're going back in a minute. There was some kind of text on the screen. I guess it was leftover closed captioning from The Talking Dead. But we're still... Oh, American Gods trailer. And I'm kind of expecting him to go back, so I'm just really stalling. Oh, no, we're actually going to a commercial with robot people in a diner. Okay, I don't know what's up with that. Let's see if Joan has any further commentary. Not at this time. Okay. Let me see here. Got EW Gung Ho about season 9 premiere, but we're already well into that, so I don't really think I'm going to get to these at this point. I think these are too old. I'm going to phase that one out. Really, we're so close to 10 o'clock that I'm really surprised that they're shoving in a commercial and screwing around. I'm sort of not really clear why they're bothering doing that. Just go ahead and wrap it because we're 5 minutes away from Talking Dead. So I'm not really sure what's on with all of that. I do have one quick little fun thing I hadn't forgotten about. Maybe you guys have forgotten. Joan had started on a project for me at the end of season 8, and I hadn't had a chance to complete it during season 9 yet, and I still kind of hope to aspire to. And that was where we were going through all of the Walking Dead properties, the comics and everything else, and the TV shows, webisodes, and gathering up all of the different nicknames that they've had for walkers from all of the different sources. It's been done before, but they only do like between 10 and 30 or so, and I'm gathering all these links together and getting them all in one place in alphabetical order with sources is expanded best of the best of these little posts. So I thought you guys might kind of find that fun, but it does involve a little research, so I don't have it ready yet, but I didn't want you to lose track because I thought we might have some fun with that at some point. I'm not really sure when I will break that out yet, but Joan, I didn't forget, and I appreciate you helping work on it. And Into the Badlands premiered 324 and 325, and now we are finally back. I will see you guys at the end. Okay, guys, it's 10:05. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up and let y'all go see Talking Dead. Let's see, last little comments to share with you guys. Negan seems to give the illusion of persuasion with his own followers. They didn't really have a choice, but he made them think they did, or at least they were better staying with him, so they should stay with him of their own volition. Honestly, I truly think that was it with at least a sanctuary. It was a shit deal, but what was out there was worse. And it really, you know, he made stuff get done, which in this kind of a society or lack thereof was very difficult to get done. Joan is amenable to going back to our project at some point. We'll figure all that out. She was correct about Gracie being Aaron's kid now. Yes, I see that. And it was nice to actually see Gracie at the door, you know, being part of things every so often. Let's see. Oh, I'm getting nervous about this traveling to the fair thing. Yeah, of course, I'm sure the fair is going to be part of the season finale and big standoff with the Whisperers, whatever, something, something. And Alpha is just really, really broken. And I think Lydia is really irretrievably broken because of that. I think the story when she was 3 years old in the closet with the plastic on her face, I think was completely true. And I don't think she's ever going to be right in the head. Whisperers got overrun in their camp by a bunch of actual walkers. And I kind of think Daryl and Connie had something to do with it because they came in during all that. And Daryl in a Whisperer's mask, oh, my God. Joan voted 7.5 to wrap. I'm at 7.75. That was pretty amazing stuff. And in the previews, big fight, Beta versus Daryl, two men enter, one man leave. I don't know, something like that. Anyhow, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. I will see you guys next week. Thank you for joining us, and thank you to those of you who may be coming in via podcast later on. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.